Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is what makes me.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
And I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C. James.
Live from Tampa, Florida, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Mark James.
Joining us right now, live from Utah, is the reigning MVP from the defending NBA world champion Golden State Warriors, who are Steph Curry here in the jungle. What's up, Steph?
What's up, Mark? How you doing?
Thanks to Mark James, who came in here the last couple of days, did a bang-up job.
There's a lot of great sports talk hosts out there. Who's your favorite, though?
Mark with a C. James, baby.
Thanks, Steph. Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors.
Phony machine. Shell, Chris Frail, Jarrett Studdum,
Tuca or Puka,
Garbage Hayward, Byrie Irving,
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Johansson across the ball, score! Charlie Coyle! Ozzie Krueger around in front, Pastrnak, he scores! What a backhand by Pastrnak! Podested right through to Krug, and here's Kruger's shot, he scores! And the Bruins have surgically and decisively taking a lead in the series, 2-1, with a 7-2 win tonight in St. Louis.
I'm gonna tell you a story.
You know, that turned quickly, didn't it? Oh, there was all this love for Gloria and... Man, like every celeb in the history of St. Louis or the state of Missouri was at the game last night, except for Ozzie Smith. I mean, Don Draper. I'm surprised they didn't bring out Paul Rudd, who's also from St. Louis, or Joe Buck or Bob Costas. Yeah, that changed really quick, didn't it? Changed really quick. And then all of a sudden, right now, the Bruins take control of the series to go up 2-1 in the best of seven. Hopefully tomorrow night they'll have that momentum from last night carry over, and they'll do what they did last night and completely systematically dismantle the Blues the way they did. And the one line was absolutely spectacular. They were great. They did what they get paid to do, which is be the best one line in hockey, the perfection line, the erection line, whatever you want to call them. That's what they do, and that's exactly what they did last night. Huge win by the Bees. And Tuca, what can you say? Pretty soon, his middle name will be Conn Smythe because he's well on his way. The Bruins are 2 wins away from getting their second Stanley Cup in the last decade, and Tuca will etch his place in terms of Boston sports postseason history. I mean, like, he is having a Curt Schilling 2004 Red Sox-like run. Big Poppy 2013. Paul Pierce 2008. Tom Brady, pick a year. 01, 03, 04, 07. Even though they didn't win it that year, he was still spectacular. Even in 2017, when the Patriots lost the Super Bowl, Brady threw for over 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. 2014, 2016, 2018. Pick a year for Brady, doesn't matter. Tuca is getting to that point where when we look back at this postseason, knock on wood, after hopefully the Bruins are having a duck boat parade at this time, or excuse me, sometime next week, that we'll be saying Tuca 2019, because he's been phenomenal. And the one line last night, they showed up, they did what they had to do, and it started with the kneeing penalty, which I thought was a little bit of a BS call on DeBrusk. The Bruins killed that power play by the Blues, and then Bergeron connected on a power play, and the Bruins were 4-for-4 last night on the power play. And at one point in the first period, they had 3 goals in 4 shots. 3 goals in 4 shots. They rattled Jordan Binnington. He had no answer. He was a deer in the headlights, And now this team has a chance to go up 3-1 tomorrow night. But they were fantastic on the power play. Krug got a power play goal. And Binnington gave up 5 goals on 19 shots. 5 goals on 19 shots. And the one line, 2 goals, 3 assists on 10 shots with 4 hits and a block. That's how you make a statement. That's what you do when you go into a team's opposing stadium like the Patriots did back in January in Kansas City, a few hours away from St. Louis, and you take the home crowd completely out of the game. And that's exactly what the Black and Gold did last night. It was phenomenal. Your thoughts on that? 617-779-7937. Anything to concern you or worry you going in to game 4? Anything whatsoever? 617-779-7937. Dan, oh, by the way, we'll get to the phone calls on the Bruins and the Red Sox. The downward spiral continues as they got beat to the Yankees for the second night in a row. The Yankees look for the 3-game sweep tonight as the Red Sox send David Price and his house of horrors on the mound against CC Sabathia and the Yankees, who got it done again last night. Aroldis Chapman got a little interesting there in the top of the 9th. Didn't matter. The Yankees, when having a lead after the 7th inning, are now 32-0 on the season. 617-779-7937. Dan in Northampton. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Mark. What's going on? Thanks for having me on.
No problem. What's up?
I think you nailed it. This team has, this Red Sox team has absolutely no identity, specifically the pitching staff, man. You look at the money tied up in this rotation where it's a mess. You have no idea what you're going to get, and you got a bargain basement bullpen that is just dead in the water without a Craig Kimbrell on the back end to hammer you home, you know. It's just a mess. There's no identity whatsoever, and you got to bring in somebody for that bullpen. You got to bolster that bullpen because the trend in the league, you see starting pitching, it's just on its way out.
Right.
And we got all this money tied up, you know.
Right. Yeah. And you've got, I mentioned Ruse Castillo. You got Pablo Sandoval. They're paying $18 million this year to be a San Francisco Giant. It's not good. I mean, this is it's a lot of wasted money that is not going to any good use whatsoever.
At all. Yeah. And you get the feeling Dombrowski was trying to emulate some of those Detroit rotations. And, it's just, we're not getting it done.
Right. Exactly. And yeah. You know what he did in Detroit? Just like he did with the Marlins, he completely liquidated their entire farm system to where they had nothing left whatsoever.
Yeah, one of the deepest farms in the league to nothing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I got to tell you, how do you feel good? I mean, Chris Sale leads Major League Baseball with the most losses. You know, he's getting, 26.6 million dollars this season. He's got 7 losses already. I mean, it's going from bad to worse. And, you know, the tickets at Fenway Park are going, I mean, they're at an, they're like, you, they're very easy to come by. It's just, I think if I looked at a microcosm of the Red Sox season, I go back to that game against Cleveland this week when they blew that lead with the blow pen at the end of the game and Ryan Brazier completely came in and threw gasoline on the fire and they blew that game. And that to me, if you're ever going to encapsulate this Red Sox season with one particular performance or memory, it's that game against Cleveland the other night in the rain that didn't get over with till like 12:45 at night.
Yeah, it shows you there's not a single guy in this pitching staff that you can trust at any given time.
I mean, I guess Price is, he's now your ace. He's your best pitcher. Let's see what he can do tonight against the Yankees. He's horrible at Yankee Stadium. Absolutely awful.
Yep.
So, Dan,
right,
appreciate
Mark,
the phone call.
Thanks for having me on, man.
You got it. 617-779-7937. Hubris. What do they say? Pride comes before the fall. And I think right now there's a lot of humble pie. This is a big game. I know it's June 2nd, but, you know, for the Red Sox right now, with the Bruins not playing till tomorrow night, that playing the Yankees tonight, you know, going up against the NBA Finals, I mean, this is a big game for the Red Sox. And it's June 2nd, but it is. How did they get here? How did they get to this point to where you're 9.5 games out? We're not even near the All-Star break. You got 6 weeks to go before we get to the All-Star break. And boom, just like that, there you go. It's sad. To me, it's something that this team, for whatever reason, they thought they could just kind of show up to the ballpark from last year and everything would just work itself out. It ain't happening, man. I'm telling you, you know, right now it is not happening whatsoever. It is, it's a cluster bleep. There's no question. It's a complete cluster bleep. And tonight's game, I mean, you knew last night too, when they lost, it's like, uh-oh, here you go. You could see that there's this huge bubble of stress above Alex Cora. He is not the same guy, you know, and he, you know, doing things like last night, as I mentioned before, taking Sandy Leon out of the game, and then they bring in Vasquez. Vasquez hits into the inning-ending double play. This is a lot of things that he's doing that just not, you know, they're pressing. It's just a bad look. And it's hard to believe because you have Pete Abraham. I mean, how about Friday night when Eduardo Nunez got picked off second base? That's a rookie mistake for a guy who's been in the league like 15 years. Mookie Betts is all about the money. He's not playing anywhere near he used to be. They got to put him back in the leadoff spot. It's everything. Yeah, JD Martinez has been a little banged up, but what's the excuse for everybody else? It's bad, and it's only going to get worse. And it's like, wow. Well, I guess you can enjoy 2018. That was fun. That was fun. And remember, a lot of teams won one in a row. And I brought the, well, a caller brought this up yesterday. And you wonder, and granted, after the White House visit to the President of the United States, Donald Trump, the Red Sox went 8-4 after that. But I wonder if maybe, just maybe, there's some unspoken divide in the clubhouse. Because you saw that picture, right? You remember that? When you had, and I believe it was Steve Buckley who wrote, the White Sox are going to the White House. And you had Chris Sale and Andrew Benintendi and Nathan Eovaldi and Rick Porcello. And there were no black players. There were no Hispanic players. There was no manager. And I'm not saying it had anything to do with the way this team is playing so bad right now, but you know what? I wonder if something like that just might have, I don't know why, because you do have the same players for the most part. There's no difference. There's no Kimbrel. There's no Kelly. And for the Kelly thing, it's addition by subtraction because he sucks in the regular season. He had one good postseason. He was unreliable at best. But you just wonder whether or not that maybe, just maybe, that had something to do with the way this team has been playing. I don't know. I'm asking the question because last year, this team got off to a 17-2 start. And every time they had a little bit of a slump, they were able to turn it around. They were able to get the, and they're not being able to do it now. I don't know why I'm asking the question, because clearly something, whatever it is just not working. You can blame it on Chris Sale. You can blame it on the bullpen. You can blame it on Alex Cora. You can blame it on Dave Dombrowski. But I'm not trying to let Dombrowski off the hook here. The one thing I don't like is the fact that Dombrowski didn't address the closer position. If you're going to make Matt Barnes your closer, make Matt Barnes your closer. Just do it. Like, don't have this hodgepodge of, you know, Barnes and Brazier. Brazier sucks. His middle name is Down Goes Brazier, because every time he comes in, he gives up big hits. And never more evident than the game the other night against Cleveland. Brazier is garbage. He sucks. 617-779-7937. Is there a clubhouse divide? I wonder. Ralph in Cranston, you're up next. What's up, Ralph?
Hi, Mark. You know, there could be something here. I don't think it's their year anywhere. There could be something there. Look, first of all, you had a one-on-one with the president, whether you hate this man. The only way you were going to get any more help is to go there and talk to him. That was dumb. And also, if I had like a 5% chance of any kind of a divide possibly in the clubhouse, I would have went anyway and said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for the people of Puerto Rico. Now, you don't run away from it. But, you know, he's doing things. I mean, Betts is the closer one night. I mean, the leadoff guy one night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, leadoff guy. Yep.
Then somebody else is another night. Then he's doing this. Then Bonds is the closer one night. Then it's somebody else. It makes no sense, you know. But, you know, if I could spend, can I mention the Stanley Cup for one minute?
Talk bees. Please bees. Yeah. It's funny, too. I get people who tune in and they're you know, they'll just listen for a minute. They get in their car and they'll text into the text line like, oh, my God, you're not talking. Like, dude, I talked 45 minutes of last hour on the Bruins. Feel free. You want to talk Bruins? We'll talk Bruins. Like, I have no issue. Yeah. We can talk hockey the rest of the freaking show. The thing about the Bruins is that the Bruins righted the ship last night. The Red Sox have not. The ship is sinking. The Titanic is going down as we know it.
Do the Tuca dance.
Yes, there was Blair in Maine yesterday, calling in yesterday. Okay, Ralph, go ahead.
It's more about, you know, this is a little different. You know, I hope the Bruins beat them in five. This is a very dirty team. You know, right. Now you had somebody getting McAvoy's head. If you saw that last night, I was at a restaurant with a few couples, and I didn't really see the whole game. But I seen the replay of he's pushing McAvoy's head down. He's pushing his head into the ice. And the dumbest thing to me, Mark, the dumbest tradition in sports is that handshake right at the end of the game.
The only way I like it is at the end of the series. The end of the series, okay. I don't like it at the end of a game.
No, I meant the end of the series.
Oh, okay.
But I just don't see. I mean, maybe another day you could say, but some guy is purposely trying to hurt you. They're a dirty duggery of a team. You want to shake this head? That's got to be some stupid thing for 100 years old in the history of Canadian hockey. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's a sport where you're trying to maim the other guy. Now you want to shake that guy's hand. Mark, I think that is the dumbest tradition in sports, is the handshake. Maybe the next week you can talk to the guy. I mean, you know, it doesn't make sense. You're trying to kill the other team, and that's what St. Louis is doing. They're trying to injure. They're running into the goaltender. That is poor sportsmanship. Now you're going to say you're a good sport because the series is over. To me, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I don't, you know, Ralph, I got to tell you, after the series, I have no issue with it. When it's over, I think it's okay. It's fine. I like last series when who was the can't remember. Or, well, there was one series I want to say the when Chara came out after he was hurt and didn't play in game four according to Wiggy, healthy scratch or he was hurt. Take your pick, okay? But Chara was Rod Brind'Amour when they were going through the lines and Brind'Amour was congratulating Chara. You know, former player. I don't have an issue with it. I got to tell you, I really don't have an issue with it. Joe in Cumberland, Rhode Island. We're big in Rhode Island today. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you today?
What do you say, Joe?
Well, I want to talk about, you know, the Belichick thinking of how he associates everything with everything. He has an excellent plan. Now, my problem with the Red Sox is, what is the plan for a closer when they're usually compared to the New York Yankees, who have Aroldis Chapman, who they've been working on the last couple of years or whatever, and now he's rising. And he's called a Cuban missile. He's got 17 saves, and he's a plan when it comes to a tight game when it really counts, especially in the playoffs. There's no plan for closing, and that's a big, big problem just to begin with. We need a Belichick mind
right
on the Red Sox.
We do. I know. And here's the thing about it. You got to employ the Belichick mentality, Joe. You have to look at this as if, like, this is sports, okay? Like, this is not a continuum. It's an anthology. Every year is different. Every single year is different, okay? So what happened last year, and that was the thing I didn't like in the beginning of the season when the Red Sox had that series against Seattle and then Arizona. It was after one of those games in Alex Cora. Right away, it was like a knee-jerk reaction. If a running back's being tackled, you know, head on, and he puts out his stiff arm. He had that stiff arm ready to go when he goes, what about last year? What about last year? It's like, dude, you won one World Series. Pipe down there, Chief. You won one World Series. Congratulations. You're the Mike Matheny of 2018. You won one World Series, okay? Congratulations. You know what? Jack McKeon won a freaking World Series with the freaking Marlins in 2003. Like, don't, you know, let's not act like you're, you know, Whitey Herzog or Sparky Anderson there, Chief. You know,
well, they at least need to be on the top pedestals with the Yankees, with the Astros, with the Twins right now. They should be right there.
They're right and there. Oh, they're no, oh, by the
17 saves for Aroldis Chapman.
17.
So if you take right. just half of those would be about 8 games, would put the Red Sox right even with the Yankees. Okay, there's no plan at the end, and it's costing. Something needs to be done about that immediately.
I agree, Joe. I totally agree. I don't know what, and that's the thing about it, man. I got to tell you, I don't know what the hell's going on. I really don't. But this season, it's a downward spiral that's just continuing. 617-779-7937. The great news is that the Bruins got it done last night, and that was a statement performance. No question about it. And I like, you know, Bruce Cassidy, I said this before, I'll say it again, he's one of the most underrated coaches, not only in hockey, but in sports, period. In all of sports, Bruce Cassidy is very underrated. He doesn't get the credit he deserves. Maybe he will at when this series is over. I don't know, but maybe he will. 617-779-7937. I look at the Sox situation that, I got to tell you, you just got to let nature take its course. That's it. You got to let nature just go the way it's supposed to go. And I don't think there's anything they can do but just let the season play out. Now, there's one trade deadline this year. There's not two. There's not the non-waiver and then the waiver trade deadline. But at this juncture, you made your bed. You got to line it. See if you can turn this thing around. But for Mookie Betts, I think Mookie's more... There's a part of me when I look at Mookie, he's a subtle Kyrie. Like, he's not a team cancer, but he's all about, you know, and there's no I in team, but there's an I in Kyrie and there's an I in Mookie. He's about that money. And I think Mookie Betts is more worried about his next big contract, which the Red Sox have him under control for another season after this year. So he doesn't become a free agent until after the 2020 season. But I think Mookie, I think he's more about that money. I don't know. There's parts of me that, but I will give him credit on one thing. He admits that this team's not playing up to the level. But even earlier this last week, and Nick, try to find this for me, after the Indians game the other night when Alex Cora said, I think we're playing pretty well. He came out and said, he like pulled a John Farrell. He goes, I think, you know, it's going like we're doing, but you have you watched your team this year? You're 500. You have a $243 million payroll. I mean, right now the team's motto should be thank God for Baltimore, because that's where you're at. All right, I'll get you more your phone calls on that and the Bruins. 617-779-7937. But now it's time to trend.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
You got to be disciplined. You know, like I've been saying all along, last year we didn't get caught up on the record we had, and this year we didn't get caught up on the start. It was just a start, you know, and we still have work to do. That's a good thing about it, you know. Like, we're getting to this point, but we know we can get better. So we will keep working just the same way we did in the first few weeks of the season and try to become the team that we know we can be.
Wow, a lot of empty rhetoric. A lot of empty rhetoric there by Alex Cora. Better turn it around. 617-779-7937. Bill in Providence, you're up next. What's up, Bill?
Hey, I'm Mark. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Big one by Bruins last night. Yeah, just a little bit about Torrey Krug. Big fan. I follow him down in Providence. He was awesome down there. You can tell he just knows how to score. He knows the offensive puck. So good around the puck. It's awesome. Great puck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched him. I mean, he was excellent when they're down in Providence. When he came up, I'm like, this kid's going to be really good. definitely an offensive defenseman, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. He's that was a nice hit. He played well last night, and the Bees, they got him right where they want him now. Now it's up to them. I mean, it's like, you know, you want to make this a series again, then have another performance like game two. You want to close it out, you know, stomp a mud hole, as Stone Cold Steve Austin would say, stomp a mud hole in their asses and come back here and finish him on Thursday night.
Yeah, a friend of mine we started watching a game in at a bar, and he was like, they're going to smoke them tonight. They're going to win 7-1. He was right. I was like, I don't follow hockey too much. I watch them. I don't follow more than baseball, but just, you know, they played very well. Tuukka played very well, too. He's played excellent, you know, the whole series. Even the two goals I gave up last night was two flukes. They kind of bounced off people, but he's been playing excellent.
You got it. Yeah, what's your thoughts on the Red Sox?
My little thoughts. It's just been... I'm a big Red Sox. I've been a Red Sox fan since I've been 5 years old. Me and my dad used to live at Red Sox in the backyard. And I think it stems from the start of the season. They played horrible at the start of the season. They never came back from it. You know, Mark, it's just something they haven't did. They never came back. And, you know, you're fighting back. They got the 500. But just the beginning of the season, they played 11 games on the road. I mean, it was a tough start of the season for them. I mean, and absolutely, it wasn't the World Series. And they throw that 11 games on the road at them. I don't know. I kind of got that a lot. But I think it started from the beginning of the season. It's tough to come back from that.
Yeah, I don't I just think this division's almost wrapped up by the Yankees. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be fighting with the Rays or, you know, whatever team for that second wild card spot, really.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I give a lot of credit to the GM of the Yankees. What a job he's done.
Cashman,
Cashman's awesome. I tell you, he gets the right people in place. He's, you know, even, you know, all the Jazz, he's been there. Even from the years they lose, they're right there every year, I mean.
Yep.
They're very good.
And what I admire the most about him, too, Bill, they didn't go out and get the big ticket item this year. They didn't go after Machado. Well, they did. They wanted Machado, but they didn't get him. They didn't get Bryce Harper. DJ LeMahieu and James Paxton, nice signings, but nothing earth-shattering. It wasn't like back in the day with Randy Johnson, Kevin Brown, Jason Giambi, Gary Sheffield. No, they've got their core. And the amazing thing what the Yankees are doing right now, they're doing it without Giancarlo Stanton and Luis Severino, who haven't even played this year. Imagine when their best pitcher and arguably their best player come back. They're going to be that much better. 617-779-7937. Rich, he's up next. Good. North Providence. Hey, Rich.
Good afternoon, Mark. I was talking to a friend earlier in the day, and he thinks that come July trading deadline, like the Yankees did a few years ago, that there's going to, or he thinks there should be, a big fire sale by the Red Sox.
There could be. What
you thought of that?
Well, it depends on if they're in contention, and if not, I mean, I got to tell you, and I've been holding off on this for a while, but if you're the Red Sox, you know, J.D. Martinez can walk after this season. His agent, Scott Boras, so more than likely he'll opt out and go for bigger money because he can. If you don't think that you can re-sign J.D. long-term or Mookie and you feel as though this season is ending, you have no farm system, do you consider moving one of those two guys?
That's just what I'm thinking. A few years ago, the Yankees all of a sudden stocked up big time on their farm system.
Yep.
I would not have a problem with that.
If
we were able to do that.
No, you won 4 World Series in 15 years. No teams repeated since the Yankees in 2000. So it's the chances. I mean, look what happened to the Astros last year. I thought the Astros were definitive back-to-back, especially if they played the Red Sox, and the Red Sox handle them. But I think if you get to a point in this season, if you're Dombrowski and you think that, all right, we're not going to be able to hold on to J.D. Martinez, let's try to upgrade our farm system, let's trade him. I'm not adamantly opposed about that. Even Mookie, who's under control for another year, you know, you might have to just sort of start because you are completely bereft of any type of farm system.
Right, and like, you know, my favorite football coach of all time, because I'm a Packers fan, Vince Lombardi, because I grew up watching him and the team in the 60s on TV, like Belichick and, you know, like some others as well, but particularly those two, Ainge to a certain extent, is addition through subtraction. And
yeah.
I'm a believer in that.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if there's a little Kyrie in Mookie. I wonder. I just, you know, not obviously overtly, but maybe subtly. Maybe subtle. Maybe Mookie's just, you know, he's wondering, you know, what's about, he's about that big money contract. He's already won the MVP. Something's not right. And it's, here's the thing. Everything that went right last year is going wrong this year. Everything. And you can say what you want and say what you will, because I know they got off to a nice start after the White House visit. But I wonder if ultimately that's created some sort of divide in the clubhouse between the players. I don't know this. I'm not reporting this. I'm asking the question. If maybe that just is this huge 9,000-pound pink elephant in the room. And it's there. People don't want to talk about it, but it's there. And I don't know. Maybe if guys like Mookie and, you know, Rafael Devers and Jackie Bradley Jr., David Price, that maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's just something there that the Donald Trump White House visit has divided this team. I don't know that to be a fact. I'm just asking the question because that's what we do on Sports Talk Radio. I don't know, because the same players are out there. And a year ago, you were running through the American League East like you were, you know, Michael Johnson in the Olympics, or, you know, Carl Lewis. You were just, it was like you were just going through it like it was nothing. And here you are a year later, and it's completely different. Why is it different when you have basically the same players? Why? I don't know. 617-779-7937. Somebody actually just texted in and said, on the White House, maybe even if one white guy in the team had supported their African-American and Latino teammates, we wouldn't be wondering if the team had an issue in the clubhouse that we're not talking about. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't know. To me, you make it political by not going. I don't have any issue with Alex Cora, Jackie Bradley Jr., David Price, Rafael Devers, Eduardo Nunez, with any of those guys who decided not to go. But at the same time, then it becomes a political statement when you don't go. Then it becomes, oh, it's all about, well, you know, they hate Trump. And here's the thing. You know, you win as a team and you visit the White House as a team. The Golden State Warriors decided as a team and an organization, we're not going to the White House. So they did it as a team. But what this looks like from the outside looking in is the Red Sox are divided. The white guys went to the White House and the African American and minority players and Hispanic players did not. So that's the optics, and the optics don't look good. I'm just saying that's how it looks. Now, I'm not saying that that's the reason why this team is 0-4 against the Yankees, why they're 9.5 games behind, why they've blown 9 out of 21 save opportunities this year. I'm not saying that. But something is amiss with the Red Sox. And tonight's game is going to be a huge statement, pro or against. And we will see. 617-779-7937. Bruins talk. You want to get in on that? Yes, Dombrowski. The moves or the lack thereof that he made, do you blame him more or Alex Cora or both? For the reason that this team, you can't blame John Henry. He put this team in a position to succeed. He spent more money. He's in the luxury tax threshold. He spent over $243 million. You can't blame it on the owner. He's put his team and his employees in the utmost position to succeed. So you can point fingers at a lot of people, but you can't point them at Henry and Werner, because they have put this team, I mean, the team on the field is not performing. So that's a managerial and a player issue. It's not an owner issue. It's a GM, a manager, and a player issue. The question is, who's the most to blame? 617-779-7937.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
I don't know. We had a good man. We put ourselves in this spot. You know, we knew it was a bad start. Now we got June. You know, we got to turn the page and can play baseball. We didn't finish the month the way we wanted. We played good for a while there, but the last week it hasn't been consistent. So show up tomorrow. We got Rick. You know, play good baseball and see what happens.
Yeah, well, Rick didn't get it done last night. David Price better get it done tonight. Otherwise, Adversity, Alex Cora, makes you stronger. He hasn't dealt with any. Everything's been this magic carpet ride since he's been here. But things are about to, business, as the great Jim Ross would say, is about to pick up. 617-779-7937. Brian is up next in Quincy. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up? You know, I just wanted to talk about the Red Sox White House visit. I don't feel like it's divided the team. They're no different than the rest of the country. If you look at the country, I mean, there's a lot of division between Latinos, African Americans, and the white folks are about how they feel about the president.
Sure.
I don't think that's necessarily a division. They're just not playing good baseball. So, you know, that's an easy topic to make a scapegoat. But can you blame someone like Alex Cora or Jack Bradley and the rest of the crew for not going to the White House?
No, I don't blame him. Like I said, I have no issue with them not going. Now, their owners came out, their bosses said, by not going, you make it political. But they have every right to do what they want. Nobody needs to force them. Just like, hey, Tom Brady decided, even though he originally went, I believe, with Trump, or maybe he didn't. I don't know if Brady has been there at all when the Patriots won the last couple of years. I don't think Brady in 2016 or...
He hasn't gone for the past couple of years, and I'm not sure he's going to turn out this year.
Right.
But, you know, that's kind of a microcosm of, you know, he gets it. He understands how divisive it is. So, obviously, yes, it's political, but, you know, if you're a player and you want to go to the White House, how would you feel if, you know, the president of the United States was cooking the books on the death toll from a hurricane in your country? I mean, this is a territory of the United States. It's not an immigrant land. These are your people as well. So, I mean, I completely understand how someone like Alex Cora and the rest of the Puerto Rican players, Christian Vasquez on the roster field, you know, it's a divisive president. It's a divisive time in America. But, you know, that's not the reason why they're losing. They're losing because they're just not playing good ball. You have a bullpen that's not getting the job done. Over the past week, they haven't gotten the job done. They've blown, what, 3 or 4 games?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they need to figure that out. Dave Dombrowski, the ownership, doesn't need to worry about, you know, political divisiveness, because the team has said, we're fine. What they need to worry about is fixing the bullpen. You know, you don't have a closer. You know, and I don't blame you for not signing Craig Heart Attack Kimbrough for all that money.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. You know, here's the thing, Brian, you can't, and especially, and Kimbrough, who clearly mis-evaluated the market, who has not gotten what he wants from any team, so he now knows that he has to eat some humble pie if he's going to pitch this year in Major League Baseball. But you already gave the money that you... I would have never paid Kimbrel $17 million a year. But at the same token, I would never have paid Nathan Eovaldi $17 million a year for a guy who's had Tommy John surgery twice, Brian.
Well, I agree. He got paid. I mean, he got paid off that postseason run.
That's it. I can't stand when teams... Brian, good phone call. I can't stand when teams do that. A guy gets really hot. That's why I thought the one move Dombrowski was going to make in the postseason was trading JBJ, because his stock had never been higher and it will never be any higher than coming off that ALCS MVP against Houston. And they stuck with him. And now he's Mr. 168 to 136. So it is what it is. 617-779-7937. Matt, who's in the Bay Area. Is that the Bay Area of Tampa or Golden State?
Golden State, originally from Boston, but I'm in Oakland.
Are you going to game 2 tonight?
No, absolutely.
Oh, no, no, don't, so no, I'm so stupid. It's, I'm so, I'm so.
It's in Toronto.
I know, I'm half Polish, forgive me. Go ahead, Bat. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, you know, I've been listening to you last, you know, a couple days on the stocks, and I, well, I agree with some points. I do have, you know, some combative points.
Sure.
I think that, well, I think that, you know, this is the cautionary tale of the 2014 Red Sox. If you win a series, hey, let's bring the band back together, right? Everybody loves everybody. The chemistry is so great, but it's hard to win back-to-back, you know, titles with the same team, you know, and there was guys like DJ LeMahieu sitting out there, Michael Brantley, who are top five in the AL in batting average right now, you know, so that's just one point. The second point I had was, you know, I don't like Cora getting heat, man. I really enjoy Cora. I think that if you look at what he's done as far as developing Devers and Vasquez and Chavis, I mean, those guys have taken monumental steps. I mean, Devers is an all-star. He might be the starting
player. Oh, yeah. By the way, if I had, if you give me your top, my top three bright spots of the Red Sox this year are Devers, Chavis, and you know what? I know he had a bad night the other night. I like Walden. I like Marcus Walden.
And I'd even say Barnes. I'd honestly, because I
yeah, Barnes has been good. Barnes has been good. The problem with Barnes is you keep jerking this guy around. He's a closer. Last night they bring him in.
His role, man.
No, but they bring him in last night. They're losing. Don't bring him in when they're losing.
Yeah,
I just they don't know what they're doing. Like Alex Cora right now. We're seeing that this guy, and I don't care, you were bench coach for a year in Houston, whatever, that doesn't mean anything. Like, he had zero managerial experience because he's clear. Everything just worked out last year in spite of himself. Now, guess what, Matt? Not everything's working out.
Well, I agree, but it's like this. You know, Dombrowski with his, you know, with his grins and telling us the bullpen's fine. We got guys. The bullpen's fine. It's like when your buddy, you know, is showing you a picture of his girlfriend. It's like, she's good looking. She wants you to see her in person, you know? And we're not dumb as Red Sox fans. We know the bullpen's not any good. And we know that we got very fortunate last year and that the moves that were pulled were, you know, great at the time. But, I mean, it's just, I'm sick of being lied to by Dave Dombrowski about the bullpen. Like, we're not stupid. We're Red Sox fans. We're the smartest fan base in the nation.
And by the way, you know, too, Matt, you're right. When Dombrowski talks, is it just me, Matt? Or does he always say a whole lot of nothing?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the job, though. Right,
but he dances in circles, and like, you ask him a question, he'll dance around for about 3.5 minutes, and then he'll never answer the question that you asked, and then you'll just start, you know.
With that smile, man, he gets you every time.
Right,
you know?
he'll start going ADD about, you know, a minute and a half into his long essay-like answer. It's just, that's what he does, man. So, I don't know, man. If they lose tonight, the division's over.
Oh, absolutely. You know, but the thing is, and I guess this leads me to the core point, is, you know, you could sell, you know, which I wouldn't be opposed to, but I think that, you know, if anything can rally the troops, I mean, the second wild card spot isn't as heated as I think as it was last year. I mean, you got to beat out Oakland. I think Cleveland will make a push because they're too talented, you know, but I mean, that if anybody could, you know, come together, in the second wild card spot, it's the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah,
you have
yeah.
to make that decision. But I also think the whole, you know, like, we need our, you know, the farm system thing. For me, like, the farm system's up. I mean, you know, J.D. Potts will walk and Wookie will walk. You have Dahlbeck, who looks like he can mash. I mean, you have Dahlbeck, Chavis, and Devers, who can play first, third, and DH. You can probably just cycle them out. You know,
Dahlbeck, I know we've been waiting for him for a long time. I got to see somebody do it. I'd love to see Rusnay Castillo for all the money they paid him in the majors. I mean, you're paying him like a major league player. He gets $11.5 million to play minor league baseball in Pawtucket. He gets $13.5 million next year to play minor league baseball in Pawtucket or whenever they move to Worcester. And that's ridiculous. I'd like to see what this guy can do in the bigs. I think he can do a lot. Unfortunately, the Red Sox are hamstrung. They call him up. It like kills their luxury tax threshold cap and all that stuff. I mean, like, man, they put themselves in a, I mean, he's the most glorified minor league baseball player in the world right now, who's getting paid like an, and I heard he's got like three Porsches down in Miami in the offseason. All right. We will continue this discussion about the Red Sox and what's gone wrong. What's happened? Why is this year so broken? Can they turn it around? Who do you blame? Cora, Dombrowski, the players, or all of the above? 617-779-7937, as well as the Bruins. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, the most interesting man in Boston sports media, William Bennetson, will be here with me on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.